Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD. Welcome to the show, and today we're going to continue our discussion on ADHD and relationships. Last week, we had some fun. We talked about dating, and we told some funny stories. Also had some questions from some people offline. And today, I am honored to have a couple here as guests, Steve and Nancy. You guys want to say hi?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about some of the positives of the relationship in ADHD. Nancy is not ADHD, and Steve is. And so they struggle a little bit in different areas in their relationship. So we're going to start out with, I think, maybe if you would tell the story of how you guys met and why you were attracted to each other. Mostly, I guess, from Nancy's side, since he's ADHD, what was it about Steve that really attracted you to him in the beginning?
Oh, he's very compassionate, very kind, and I picked that up the first time I met him.
Okay.
So that was very attractive, and then we just had things in common.
Okay.
That were fun.
Okay. So what about his creative side? Was that something that you were attracted to?
I'm in a creative business.
Okay.
So I've always thought that it was, you know, being married to someone who's not creative just wouldn't be a very good thing.
Right.
So at the time, you know, Steve was also working in a creative field. So I thought that was, you know, good. But at the same time, I wanted someone who was a little geeky, and he certainly is geeky. So because I'm not.
That's great.
So I thought that's perfect balance.
I love that. Okay. And Steve, what attracted you to Nancy?
Well, I think for us, our relationship started off as friends, and that was a nice foundation. I should say that both of us were, you know, over the age of 35 when we met, so we weren't like a young couple that just met each other in college or just right out of college. So we had both been single for a number of years, and probably, you know, dated numerous people through the years and, you know, grown comfortable being single. So when we met, it wasn't like I wanted to rush into a relationship. So we started off friends, and I found the more I got to know her, the more I liked her. And that was different than other relationships I've had. And I think it allowed us to get a chance to know each other a bit. I should say we did get married after just knowing each other 10 months, and I approached it with the fact that I figured, well, after we get married, well, then we'll get to know each other. Because you really don't know anybody in less than a year. And I think typically, especially for younger couples, you don't know yourself. You need a couple of years together.
I agree.
I think for us, the reason I married her, I said this to her, and it's still true today, and we've been married now almost 10 years. I knew that she's a person that I would love more tomorrow than I do today. And I certainly love her more today than I did yesterday. And so she has many qualities that makes it easy for me to love her. Another thing I found from a real practical point of view is that we, during our dating time, when we had disagreements, we only have fights. There wasn't a lot of anger and resentment, but we'd have what people call bumps.
Okay.
I found that we could resolve those things.
Okay.
There was always a resolution that wasn't with a lot of anger or resentment or, you know, someone person stomping off or the other person giving the other the silent treatment for a couple of days. We didn't have that. And I found it very refreshing with somebody that we could resolve our differences.
Okay.
And that's helped us in this trial of me finally becoming self-aware and realizing I really do have ADHD.
Okay, so when was it that you first realized that you had ADHD? How long ago was that?
Well, it's been a gradual thing. I think what makes me different than a typical ADHD person is that in my family, I'm not the only one, but I have a brother who was, I call him a poster child for ADD or ADHD. They actually had him on medication in school. And so all the attention really was focused on him. And so many years ago, when you looked at ADD kids, he would fit the profile.
Okay.
Hyperactive, very disruptive, could sit still. You put him in a classroom situation, and he could elevate the energy in the room almost instantaneously. And just the type of kid that couldn't sit still.
Okay.
I was a little different. I had my problems early on, but I learned to cope in a different way. So all the attention was really on my brother and not on me. And so
I
was overlooked.
Were you more of the inattentive type of ADD? So
no.
You were quiet and probably trying to focus in school, but off thinking about creative things because you're a photographer, correct? That's one of your gifts?
Yes, I've done photography for a living for years, and I come from a family of artists, so we have a lot of creative members in our family. Art was not really considered to be a profession. It was considered a avocation. I discouraged from going in the arts.
Okay, so let me bring this back for a minute. When you guys were together, when did you first realize that there were issues and it was related to attention deficit disorder?
I think it was really Nancy's awareness. I was really operating as an unaware person. And she was trying to get me to see this. And I was, at some point I could say in denial, or we could say I just wasn't ready to admit it. I would admit it, but I wouldn't admit it.
Okay, so what did you think?
It wasn't anything I saw. It was more something intuitive. So after, 3 or 4 months of being married, because neither of us have been married before.
Okay.
I just felt like something's just not right.
Okay.
And I talked to friends, and they're like, oh, because your husband's been single for so long, he'll be okay.
Okay.
And then,
can you be specific for me when you say something wasn't right?
You know, it's been a while. I don't remember. Maybe it's just like I wouldn't be able to pin him down.
Okay.
On a time.
Okay.
To meet me, to go somewhere. It's just that kind of everyday sort of thing.
Right.
And then it just kind of went on, and I just didn't know what to do about it. There wasn't a question. Because I didn't know anything about ADD. I didn't even know it existed.
Okay.
So I never had the question to ask.
Okay.
And then we were out to dinner with a friend who was about the same age as Steve, and he'd just gotten diagnosed. And the two of them started talking, and they had all these similarities of experiences that were way out of my world.
Wow.
Like, I'm like, people have these kinds of experiences? I didn't know that. They're talking about, oh, yeah, do you have, like, 5 conversations going on in your head at the same time? Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, wow.
And do you do this? Oh, yeah, I do this, too. And you can, I'm just like, oh, my God. It must be ADD, whatever that is. And I started getting on the Internet.
And looking up. So that was when you were first married?
Yeah, that was probably, like, year 3. It took a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you went out to dinner with your friend and you recognized, Steve, that you had some of the same symptoms, what did you do about that? Did you want to do something about it, or were you still in denial?
I think I was, slowly moving out of denial, but I wasn't fully embracing it because I wasn't self-aware. I think I would see glimpses of it, and I would admit, oh, yeah, that's ADD behavior. But, I'm just kind of unique and not seeing the whole picture. It was easy for me to kind of avoid the whole issue. So she could confront me on individual things. I would admit it, wouldn't deny it. But to embrace the whole thing, and I think it had to do with the fact that that was not my identity. So part of I think, coming to grips with ADHD, if you have it, is getting through this denial phase.
Right.
And then embracing really all of it. And it is, you have to accept the fact And I think we can get beyond. But initially, you have to take the label.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
I wasn't ready to take the label.
Okay.
And that was not, I mean, people could say that about me, but I wouldn't say that about myself.
Okay. So, Nancy, when did the resentment for the behavior start to build for you?
The resentment didn't come for a long time. It was more fear.
Oh, okay.
Because the thing is, I know, like, with my friend, the one that got diagnosed, I know his wife was really getting resentful because they were trying to raise three kids.
Okay.
And he's not reliable. We didn't have kids.
Okay.
We both had our own individual, you know, careers.
Right.
And so, and we've been single for so long. I didn't really need him to be at a certain place.
That's a very good point.
And so there wasn't a lot of places where he could really, like, if I really needed him, let me down, and it was still this resentment. It didn't happen. But when I could see this was kind of dysfunctional. I was thinking, well, how's this going to play out when we start, you know, like things like trying to buy a house together.
Right.
You know, when you start going on to a little more bigger things.
Exactly.
How's this going to play out? So it was more kind of trying to looking into the future and like, well, how's this going to go? And then I think the resentment built up when, you know, the economy turned down and this business. It really kind of,
is that the photography business?
Yeah, well, it was a combination of the downturn in the economy, the fact that photography is, in the consumer market, is very discretionary, and combining with the technology, the changes in photography going to digital. You know, I've been in photography years ago when it's just all film, and you can look at it this way, the barriers to entry for other people is very high. In photography, you have to perform. You can't mess up.
So let me interrupt you for a minute because I think there's something else here that I think is important. And that is when many of us like to be entrepreneurial, okay? I mean, I've started my own business. My father, who was a photographer and a pilot, he had his own business, the Mazzetti did, okay? But I think one of the pitfalls in your own business when you have attention deficit disorder is really following through on the minute little details that have to get done, and then we tend to either lose customers or we don't show up on time, whatever the issues are. I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened with you, but I think that can cause resentment on the side of Nancy who's watching you try to build something, and the little things that other people who don't have the executive function issue, those things don't drop through the cracks. But for us,
ADD people in entrepreneurial, having their own businesses, they have a set of problems that people that do have what you call executive function don't have.
Right.
So one thing I was able to do is that with ADD, I had certain strengths. And certain things it might have been a problem for ADD, but didn't. So I was always on time. I always performed. I delivered the goods. And where I can look back now and realize that I failed, the failings I had were in the area of just, you know, the closing out. It's just, you know, you show up on time, you do the job, people love the photographs, and then delivering all the goods. In the old days, it was, you know, you had to, especially portraits or weddings, people photography, you know, people wanted to get the photos. Maybe too, we get all the photos on time. The family thing was like albums or things, other prints or anything that required a little extra work. And part of the problems with ADD is there's a procrastination element and then just the last 10%. And that's where I really failed. And so I think I admit this now is I did not get all the referrals because of my execution at the end. At the time, they got everything, they were very happy, but then just to get the last fits.
And
that's something that ADD people have.
It is a problem with people. It's a challenge because, you know, at times we have difficulty starting. Once we start, we get through, but then last little 10%. Okay.
Right.
So did you notice this, Nancy?
Oh, yeah. Because when they're not getting that last thing, whatever it is, like a lot of times it might be the album.
Right.
They call the office, of course.
Right.
And then they call our home.
Wow.
So I'm coming home, and on our recorder is some woman, practically in tears, like, where's my photos?
Okay.
And I'm like, how can it be so hard? I mean, taking the photo is hard.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
Right.
Just,
right.
You know?
So when you would approach Steve and say to him, hey, there was a phone call, there was a message today, how would he receive that from you? Would he get defensive? Or
he'd be like, okay.
Okay.
And then I think it's going to get taken care of, but then a few days later, and it
built.
Yeah, and then it can kind of repetitively.
Right.
More than, you know.
Right.
More
than
one. Well, one thing I can say is that my performance is inconsistent.
Okay.
Some people were very happy, did everything perfect, and other things, it wasn't.
Yeah, and
so
I think
there was an inconsistency on my part.
And what I learned now through you, Justine, is that not only is there a focus issue, because,
right,
you know, if you go online and read about ADD, it's mostly about kids anyway, and they
right,
all talk about focus.
Right.
They never talk about the emotional element or the anxiety, and I never knew that
right,
until, you know,
we started
working together.
Right.
Because now when I look back, all those people were difficult clients or high-maintenance clients, and they had a very unique kind of product that just wasn't the cookie cutter thing, something he would have to reinvent. I mean, there's something that was emotional about it.
Exactly.
And I'm in a creative process. When I'm up against stuff like that, it makes me emotional too.
Right.
It doesn't stop me.
Right. Right.
So I can understand.
Right. And so the three of us have been working together. I work more or less with Steve one-on-one, and then he come in and we spend time together. And I think that one of the biggest things that Steve has recognized is the fact that he really needs to individuate, he needs to grow up. And that is a theme that I am seeing and really starting to do a lot of work with people on that, because as much as how old are you, Steve?
56.
Okay. And I'm 58 and grew up 4 years ago. So as much as we're in our 50s and us in our 40s, 30s, 60s, we never individuated. We never grew up. And I truly believe, since I did this process myself, that I get a handle then now on the negative symptoms, and I'm in control of them. They're not in control of me. So I think that one of the things I see happening is, even though you're trusting in this process, Nancy, that he's really working on himself, when you come in, the three of us sit down, there's a level of frustration from you that I feel, especially in the area of finances. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. I think the reason is because, you know, I mean, I totally support Steve in this decision, which is to, you know, drop the photography and do something else. It's because long-term it's not a viable occupation.
Right.
And I would certainly agree. I want to support him with that. But I just have this resentment of the way he did it. Because I would think a responsible person would... No, he didn't get fired, right? He fired himself,
right,
basically.
Because it was his business.
Yeah, it's his business. He
could
have done whatever he wanted to do with it. And sure, it's not a fun time. The unit... something else going, and then they transition, so there's not this... where income goes to zero. And then...
You before he decided to stop doing the photography?
No, because for him it was an emotional process. It wasn't like, it wasn't a logical decision.
Okay. But I think what would have been great, and this is where I just really want to highlight this for the audience, is adults with ADD who are not individuated and not truly grown up, they will at times tend to run from a difficult situation because they don't know how to really communicate properly. properly to the person that they're with how they really are feeling.
Mm.
Because they already know that there's some resentment that has built here. So I think communication and you learning the whole art of communication without getting into the defensive stance,
yeah,
which comes from years and years and years of the negative things that we heard growing
right.
up.
Yeah, the other thing, Justine, that I didn't realize, and you've helped me to see this both in our individual coaching sessions and also the wonderful group
support group,
support
yeah.
group that we have every Wednesday, is the emotional component of ADD. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that with ADD there is a high levels of anxiety. I guess there's some, and you can tell me if this is correct or not, but it's like almost not all people who have anxiety, depression issues have ADD, but pretty much all people with ADD, ADHD have
yeah.
underlying
yeah.
anxiety.
Co-occurring disorder.
And I didn't realize that I was operating with that level of anxiety.
Right.
And I was so good at avoiding stuff,
right.
and suppressing and tuning things out. I mean, I'm probably one of the, I'm sure there's other people like myself, but in the ADD population, there's alcohol abuse, drug abuse. There's ways of just trying to cope with all this pain.
Self-medicating, yeah.
And I did not self-medicate. I did other things to kind of deaden the pain. I guess I developed my own internal mechanism that enabled me to avoid stuff.
Right.
And being kind of an introvert by nature, I was able to, by being by myself, I could push away the world and it didn't bother me, just be my own person.
Right.
And I did a lot of athletics in my youth, and I think that was a good outlet. It was like a mindless activity. And you can avoid your problems. And I just got very good at compartmentalizing my life. So that way, like in my photography business, I could do some people take care of them very well. That was just one little compartment. And then others, I didn't do as well because it was, as Nancy was talking about, they're just emotional. I didn't realize I didn't handle my emotions very well, and I didn't, and that I was shut down when I got a lot of, there's emotional issues, people that were triggering kind of my emotions in a way where I didn't want to deal with them.
Right.
So I just put them off.
Right. Well, that's what we do best. So let me bring this back for a minute
okay.
to the conversation about Nancy not really knowing that you were giving up photography, and she's surprised. And when you approached David to talk about this, what did you get back from him?
There wasn't really anything concrete. I don't think we really ever sat down and had one conversation that it was more, you know, the photography, the number of jobs he was getting was going down. The next thing I knew, the website was down. And then there was, you know, marketing at different venues. Those were getting pulled, and it was like, okay, you know.
So I'm sure that
was
you were feeling angry at this
right,
point.
Right, and the same time he's like, oh, I'm going to try this. And he would try his hand at different things.
Right.
But they weren't like seriously get it out. You know, they were just like some friend came along and here's a, I'll try this. You
right.
know, and it was just real casual. He was just kind of.
Which if you think, would be something, both of you, that is a juvenile way to approach life.
Yeah,
and that's why I talk about the individuation, which for those of you who are listening, you know, Steve has really, he's working very hard, and not only individually, but with the group, to really work on that piece of growing up. And I know that at this point in time, that doesn't necessarily help all the issues that being very patient in terms of trying to understand that this is a process that he's going through. But I guess I really want to get a little bit into the heart of the issues of communication between the two of you, if we could. Because that's what I want to talk to the audience so they can hear more about where are the roadblocks for the two of you when you try to communicate in this arena, in the arena of ADD symptoms, the negative symptoms. So, for example, you get up and David is in his office and you notice that he's not doing the sales work that he needs to be doing because he's doing something different now. You notice he's exiting. He's off on the internet looking at pictures off. What does that do to you?
You know, until we started working with you, because if I bring it up all the time, it's not helpful.
No.
So a lot of times I would just not look. Like, I don't look at what he's doing in the office.
Okay.
We have separate offices, so
okay.
I can just not look.
Okay. And that helps you.
It helped me in the moment.
Right.
But I'm always living in this state of fear.
Right.
Because I know that it's not. I just know that nothing's progress.
Okay. And so you're worried, too, because we've discussed this, that, you know, there has to be money coming in from both of you to pay the bills, to pay the rent. And what David did right now could be extremely lucrative, but he has to really stay focused on what he needs to do. And so when the end of the month comes around and he doesn't have the money that he needs to add to the bills for the month, I know that that has caused some issues for you. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, how do you approach him and how does he answer you? How, can you walk me through some of those scenarios?
Nancy, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think it was frustrating because it's getting less. I'll go through this in a minute, but I just want to say that it's getting less and less frustrating because I think frustration is when you don't know why what's happening. You don't know what's going on.
Very good.
And
yeah.
You have no concept of when you're going to get better, how it's going to get better. There's no roadmap.
Right.
Right? And it's just this fear
right.
You live in.
Because, right. Which is terrible.
Because you know that it's really not going to get any better.
Exactly.
But since working with you, learning what's triggering what, and kind of understanding this is developmental.
Yes.
It's not like crying for a cast and smile, it's going to be okay, I get that. And kind of learning, you know, the kind of realigning expectations.
Which is great.
And I've gotten a lot of peace from that.
That's great.
I mean, whether it's 6 months or 12 months, there's an expectation I can kind of align. And then now when I talk with Steve, it's kind of in that, with that basis of that expectation.
Which is great.
Which
is wonderful.
Is a lot. Better.
It's better for you and it's better for him.
And then the other thing is because he's going to coaching with you.
Right.
I feel like now someone's taking on that role. Because before I couldn't take on the role because I was the wife and there was no one else. That
exactly.
Was a scary place to be too.
Exactly. And I do that. I also do that with kids and adolescents. I tell the parents, especially in the world of adolescents, let me do this so you can connect with your child or adolescent on a better level. It's not all about school, and then that's negative. So take me back, though, to that time when things were difficult and you didn't have the tools and communication wasn't great. So how would that...
Okay, I think how it started, my part there was just an avoidance, kind of avoid those tough conversations that we needed to have. And I think Nancy's help, she helped me become more self-aware. And part of the becoming self-aware was to realize I wasn't self-aware.
Which is pretty amazing, right?
But then there's a next step you have to take with being self-aware is you have to admit that you weren't self-aware.
Right.
And then how does one become self-aware? How does one really look at who they are? And then once you admit it, are you willing to own up to it and accept it?
Exactly.
And that was a difficult process. The thing that I was aware of, but it's not just from your what you teach and from, you know, your own training and what you've been able to formulate, but other experts in ADD and ADHD have also said that there's this element, this need to grow up. And I didn't realize that I hadn't grown up. I think early in my life, I've been very responsible. I've been very independent at a young age. Going back to my teenage years, I was very much a self-starter, achieved a great deal. I didn't realize how hard it was.
I just
thought life was just that hard. And so I was, gritting my teeth and trying to discipline myself. It was kind of really miserable. Not being in touch with my feelings, I could ignore all that.
Right.
But after years of having life be that difficult, and you finally realize other people aren't toughing out life the way you are. And then you begin to realize, well, maybe I'm not doing things right. But how I can bring this together is that when you're dealing with somebody who's really a child on the inside, it's really hard to communicate with.
It's when we talk about individuation, it's more about emotional individuation. Because as you just said, and I think all of us feel like, you know, we made it through high school, and most of us made it through college, and, you know, we ended up getting married. Some of us make poor choices in who we married for that tethering process of being connected and tethered to our parents. But when we look like adults, but inside, there is no internal validation at all. And that doesn't come until emotionally we're individuated.
I didn't realize that.
Right.
I didn't realize how much of a child I was on the inside. Just being, you know, self-disciplined and kind of being tough. And, I guess I'm like a lot of people. I grew up, it was not a horrific childhood. In many cases, things were ideal. But things were very, very tough on me. And might just be the sensitivity that was kind of part of who I am. I did not respond to real harshness. And so I can see now that how I react to things on an emotional level and allow myself to be ruled by my emotions instead of being able to let those go. And I have to say, in a marriage relationship, and I can't speak for men who are, for husbands who are not ADD, but I know myself, I don't like being told what to do. And I grew up drill sergeant, and she felt that's how she had to handle a house full of kids, is that she had to, you know, boss us around. I know myself, I will react negatively if I get bossed around, and I need more gentleness that I didn't see growing up.
So did you notice that about him? He doesn't like being bossed around.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, when you ask what do I do when I go in his office, I try not to go there.
Right.
Because it doesn't work.
Right. Which is really very good. It's very healthy of you to back off. Because when you're on top of somebody, and again, my favorite person in the world, Dr. Gabor Mate, says in his book Scattered, there is no chance of internal motivation until there is autonomy.
Right.
And there can't be autonomy when a parent or a wife or a husband is standing over the other person with a hammer, mm-hmm. saying, you will do this now, or why are you doing that? Doesn't work. So his behavior of exiting when he's supposed to be doing the thing that he needs to do is juvenile. And this is what I keep going for, is that juvenile behavior that really doesn't help a partnership. See, a marriage has to be about two adults coming together and are equal partners.
Right, exactly. And so that's why, Steve probably thinks I went in the office a lot, but he doesn't realize how many times I was at the door and saying, no, you're not going in there, and
right.
I did go in.
Right.
It's probably way more often than the times I did go in.
Right.
So also what it does is it makes me shut down. So it's just like, okay, he's got his life, I've got mine. Because once I get sucked into his life, all the anxiety comes. I have to think about it because he's not thinking about it, which means leads me to take responsibility, which I can't, because you can't make someone do it. So, like, so then it's just like, then you just shut down.
Have you learned through this process of us working together, have you learned more about how to approach him? When you want to ask him things about, for example, you know, are you going out canvassing today for the sales?
No, not yet.
Okay. So how do you approach it?
I just ask a simple question and try not to do it at a bad time.
Okay. So here's one of the things that I try to help people with is checking in. So if you wanted to talk about the fact that you noticed that Steve hadn't been out doing his thing, first thing you do is just a good time to talk. Because, you know, we need to allow people to really process, okay, I think she wants to talk to me about something serious. And many of us just in this in our arena will fly off the handle. If you get in there and ask, is this a good time to talk, then we get to make the decision, or you two, if he asks you, you know, this isn't really a good time, but you have 20, this is my rule, you have 24 hours then to get back together and have that conversation. So it can be an hour or it can be 23 hours, but you've got to have it within that day. So you shaking your head, the audience can't see that. When I asked her if she was better at, and do you want to share that she still struggles when you're not getting things done in how she approaches you?
Yeah, I don't consider getting somebody helping you by just you know, like a manager in a job just telling, well, have you got this job done yet? And I need this on my desk, and, you know, by the end of the business day. I don't respond well if by just being ordered around or following up, or you know somebody
checking
who's not checking up. It's sort of like, you know, in management where you're managing your employees and you're making sure that they're staying on top of their tasks. What I realized that I need, and this helps me emotionally, I think this is for all ADD people. We, certain tasks we are very poor at doing on our own. And the same way with the problem of organization and, you know, cleaning up, and a lot of the books that I've read, where if you go in, even if you're just there helping them to do it, or just not telling them what to do, but just being there in the room while they're trying to do something very hard for them. I need from Nancy, and it's not always practical, but I know on an emotional level, until I really learned to get a handle on my emotions. I get more, I feel I'm really being supported. So I say, let me help you. As opposed to just coming in and checking in, have you gotten that done yet?
Okay, so let me tell you how dangerous that word help can be, okay? So let me reframe this for you.
Okay.
Because the word help is very codependent.
Okay.
And we don't want to be codependent because you're trying to individuate. So she comes in, she looks around the room, and she says, wow, you... seems to me like you're struggling a little bit. And you answer yes or no. Okay? Now, the way she presents it is going to be in a kind way. Not like, hey, you look like you're struggling. Because then you're going to get defensive. Okay?
Yeah.
You look like you're struggling a little bit. So,
That would help.
Is there anything that I can do to help you in your struggle? See, instead of just coming in, can I help you?
Got it.
Okay. So then you can say to her, you know what? I'm having a hard time. Do you think you could just sit here? Because I think if you were sitting here for maybe a half an hour, I could get this done a lot easier. So see, everything in life is how we present. Because if you get into the helping thing, it really leads to codependent behavior.
No, I like that. That makes a lot of sense. And when I said earlier I need help, because I don't have these skills or this knowledge. I mean, I've gone from a point in my life where I used to do everything on my own. Never asked for help. Always figured it out on my own. I always knew it would take me longer than everybody else.
Right.
And nobody had any patience with me, so I had to just do it on my own. And then I didn't want to put out other people. So for me, ask for help is a big thing. But what I'm learning in this point right now is that there's a good way of receiving help and a bad way. But I don't like being told what to do
Okay.
or bossed around, because I don't feel that's helpful to me, Because I'm really good at beating myself up, and I don't need a second person beating me up.
Okay, do you feel like you beat him up?
No.
Okay.
No, but probably it's something that Steve knows he needs to be doing, and he knows he's procrastinating, and then when I bring it up,
okay,
it creates a...
Okay.
Yeah.
So let
it
me
trigger something.
So let me take you back.
Keep telling me it triggers a month.
Okay, because I'm going to tell you why. Let me take you back. So there were about 3 weeks in a row that Steve came into session with me that you couldn't be there, but you sent me a note. Okay. And while I was reading these notes, and they were very insightful questions that you were asking me, you know, how can Steve multitask? Do more than one thing. But it was kind of like, and this is how it made me feel, it was kind of like mom was sending a note to the teacher. Okay? and again, I understand that that was your way of communicating with me, but that's where I see that this relationship has a lot of growth potential, because it's like the mother and the child.
And I don't want to be tethered to her. I don't want...
Exactly.
I don't want them. Her son relationship.
But that being said, in defense of Nancy, she at times feels like she's at her wit's end. And I can feel that from her when she comes in. So this is a balancing act for me, you know, because there's a lot of ADD experts out there who will say, you know, you really need to understand and help the person with ADD. No, sorry. You need to understand them, and you need to be proactive with them, but they need to grow up, and they need to take their own responsibility. And the reason I'm tough about that is because you're looking at an adult here, who 5 years ago I was not. And so I can tell you that this process works, and it will work for you, because you don't want – I want the two of you to be on an even playing field. I don't want Nancy up here and – down here.
It's been that way for a
right.
while because of my irresponsibility.
Right.
And part of it, I think it's a really strange realization is the fact that, you know, you get to be 50 years old and also realize you never grew up.
Exactly.
And that's really hard to face.
Right.
And then you as you really reflect and you look at your behavior and you've been seen and you realize, yeah, this is true.
Right. Now, I'm going to take you back for a minute to something that I think is important. So Nancy, when I asked her, you know, do you tell him what to do? And so her answer was that Steve can get defensive when he knows that there were things that he was working on that didn't get done. Okay. I had a similar situation myself just this morning with my life partner, okay? Because it had something to do with setting up the microphone for my show today. And he was very frustrated. He recognized that what he was feeling, I was putting upon him. I was saying, you didn't do, I wasn't saying any of that.
But that's the way he felt.
But that's the way he felt.
Okay.
So that's what happens, because our whole life, we've had people trying to tell us what to do. And just even try to, you know, move things around a little bit for us, we get defensive. What do you mean? I did that, and that's not what they're really saying.
But see, that's hard for me because I have to admit now I do that. And I think, especially when you're single, you can do things on your own and be self-employed for many, many years. I was able to avoid a lot of this and then think, well, I don't get defensive. I deal with people on an adult level. And, you know, marriage is, you know, kind of reveals kind of who you really are. I think it's been part of our growth as a couple. And now that I realize that I have ADHD, I have to now work on it. So
Nancy a question. So what I just explained, is that what you see? Is that how you feel? Because you have said I think a lot of it is David's defensiveness of he knew that he didn't get something done. And when I came in to ask,
I think there's a part of that, but then there's also, you know, we've been married for over 9 years, so we have this history, right? And in the beginning, I didn't know that he had ADD. No one knew. And I'm watching him. He purchased a business right after we got married. So he went from doing photography on one level to by purchase, bringing it up to a much larger level.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
And so now he has to perform on a much higher level, you know, in a week. You know, well, he had like a 6-month training program, but after that, he has to perform. And then I would be in there, one, because I wasn't a good wife. I just was newlywed. I didn't quite understand. I come from a very strict corporate world. I didn't really understand the wife role.
Right.
And then, just a general thing. And then on top of that, we didn't know he had ADD. So I probably told him what to do a lot of times.
Okay.
And so that's programmed in.
Okay. And so that builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah,
she did it all the time.
She would incorporate these very corporate kind of she'd use spreadsheets, and this is the way you need to do things and how you set up your accounting. And it works well for people in a corporate environment, but for a creative type and then with having ADD, I found that she would do all this stuff for me, and she's showing that, hey, I really don't care. I want to help you. But it didn't help me because it wasn't anything I could use. And because of my deficiencies, there was nothing I couldn't execute.
No, because one of the things, and I will tell you this, Nancy, is, you know, before I worked on myself and became individuated, I can recall back where people in my life would say to me, why don't you just do it? Why are you just sitting around? Why don't you just get up and do it? And I used to really, it destroyed my self-esteem because I knew that I needed to get up and do it. I knew that there were things that I needed to do, but for some reason, that internal mechanism just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And now it is there. I am able to get up and do things. So it's this process that you and I and the three of us are working on. And I just want to, there's a woman who called in and she asked David, how did the ADD person come to admit and acknowledge that he was ADD?
It was a gradual thing, so I can't say there's one moment. Okay. Well, I think, to answer the question, there was a number of experiences or events that started putting it all together.
Okay.
And we have some friends who are wonderful people. They have three kids, and their youngest really has a very strong case of ADHD. And now in the school system, they have a lot of programs to help kids like him. So he's getting help. But he's, you know, they've tried medication, counseling, all this stuff. And he's been fully tested, and he's there. And I began to see that his behavior... I looked at that and I saw things he was frustrated with, and I realized when I was his age, I had the same problem.
Right.
But I didn't realize it. Now, I functioned well in school. I got A's. I did well academically, and I was just more disciplined than him. But I still had all the emotional problems, and I could really relate to this kid. And began to reflect back on my life and realizing, as he is today, that's where I was years ago.
Okay, and so to go on, because she asked, second part to the question is, how did you accept the label? Which is a really good question.
Well, I didn't want to. You know, my brother, who is, as an adult, is unrecognized by many people. He's very talented. He's very smart.
He's got the gift.
But this guy, I mean, he has... You know, but it's not what the world measures. I mean, this guy, a week before high school, he found out he wasn't going to graduate.
Wow.
And so he thought he, you know, had cap and gown. He said, no, you're not going to graduate. And this is a kid who was able to get through high school with probably never bringing a book home or even cracking a book. So he just by his own wits and his native intelligence could squeak by. He did get his GED later on. He's done some other training. He's skilled with his hands, his ability in real situations to find solutions. He's very creative and very strong. So the guy is very talented, and yet he had a whole life of, you know, being told he was a screw-up.
So that's why you had a difficult time accepting the
label. Well, I didn't want to have the same label that he had.
Right.
And I was the good son, and I didn't screw up. I avoided trouble. And it's one thing when, you know, pressure is being put on you, and one person's getting all the attention, and you figure out, you learn how to kind of avoid everything.
Right. But, you know, and I think that this is why I am so passionate about ADD is a gift. It's a gift. I have a gift. I have a book that's at the publisher right now, The Gift of ADD. And it's just really, I just put together a bunch of very successful people who are so creative. If it wasn't for ADD, there wouldn't be a Hollywood. Okay. So I think that my quest as an ADD coach and a therapist is to have people understand that this doesn't have to be the end of the world. This isn't a death sentence. This can be the work. That regulation, which is the inability to regulate emotions, all of these negative symptoms, you can get in control of, and then this label doesn't have to be a negative label.
Just admitting this was that then I got this label. I really recommend that people read his book, Scattered.
Wonderful book. Yeah.
That book really gave me hope on a more kind of an academic level. He's a guy who's a medical doctor who's worked with ADD as well as many other things in his medical practice. And then meeting you, and now in a, what I'll call like a living laboratory, this workshop that we do each week, that in combination gave me hope. Because
no, because there's so much more out there for you, and your life is just going to continue to get better and better.
And I think for me, you know, because I recognized it before Steve was even ready at all to admit it. I mean, it was just like, oh, these some pharmaceutical companies put out there to sell drugs to kids. That was the kind of where we started out. But I had this experience around that time of, or ADA
yes.
And so we had to learn how to deal with people who were visitors to this facility who have physical disabilities.
Wow.
And this woman who came was paraplegic. She has spoken all over the country to Congress.
So I am trying to put myself in situations where, at this point, where my weaknesses are really going to, you know, bite me on the tail, and where my strengths are.
Right.
I'm not trying to avoid it. Sort of like I don't want to be like a stutterer who avoids certain words because they stutter on those words. But there's times when you can find another word to use. But I'm a type of person where I want to overcome my difficulties. So using the example of a stutterer, I want to learn how to say the words that I stutter on and say them without stuttering.
Exactly. So that's a good, that's a very good analogy. And I think that we're heading in that direction.
Right.
And during the time that we're heading to the direction of individuation for Steve, you know, Nancy is in coming in to work with the two of us, the three of us together,
mm-hmm.
is really beginning to understand that this is a process, that it's going to take time. But during that time, you have to continue to move forward and really kind of push yourself in the direction of growing up. So things, you know, when we start growing up, if you think about it, and we start becoming adults, you know, our parents have the expectations that we're going to do things that we couldn't do before. And that's, in this individuation process, what has to happen, even though we're not, you're not completely there yet, but heading in that direction.
But you know what I noticed? In that, I was at that CAD group where you first spoke about individuation. You put that concept down
yes.
there. You didn't really discuss it. It was one of the many concepts. And I took it, just hit home to me. And then I dwelled on it for a while. I'm like, who was I tethered to?
Wow.
It couldn't have been my father or my mother. And then I realized it was Steve.
Wow.
So in a bad way, we had kind of both
enmeshed.
The emotion. And I regret.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And now it's like, okay, once I recognize, I'm like, we're done.
Wow. No, that's very healthy. That's really
but
healthy.
But I would never, because there were certain things I felt like in my own life. Apart from Steve, I'm like, why can't I get over this stuff? And then when you said individuality, I realized we had,
yeah, and that happened.
Yeah, I take it. I mean, on a larger scale, I think that what you're doing, Justine, is helpful not just for the ADHD population, but probably more people than we realize. Because I think we're living in a society where we're all becoming more childlike in a negative way. So we're not being adults,
right.
And we're not getting encouragement like I'm receiving from your coaching and the Chad. And so I think you're probably going to have opportunities with helping
other people
yeah. because we're not growing up. Even just our society, adolescence is something that is extended now into their 20s. You read
exactly. The new adolescence is 11 to 25.
Right. And yet, 80 years ago, people were considered adults at age 15 or 16.
Okay, so I really want to thank Steve and Nancy for being with us today. Thank you so much for sharing. I know it meant a lot to everybody who's listening out there. We're going to most likely continue this segment that I'm doing on relationships next Sunday. I'll have a surprise either couple or person in so that we can talk some more. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. I appreciate it. This is Justine Rotolo, also known as Miss ADD. You can contact me on my website at missadd.com, or you can go to my Facebook page. And I just want to remind everybody two things. One, that ADD is a gift. And the second thing is, in the world of mindfulness, remember to please stay in the moment. And I will see you next week. Thanks again.